Okay, good evening. As I was contemplating what to preach this evening, I had a thought to preach a message out of 2 Timothy, so you can turn to that book. I had thought about preaching 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but as I got into it, the Lord really didn't give me peace about that. So as I was perimetering the verse, reading around the rest of Timothy, I came across the verses we're going to look at tonight from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We're going to preach on tonight is about being a good soldier. Let's read and then we'll continue. I'm also going to look at chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 in the course of this message. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Then from chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Let's go to the Lord and then we'll continue. Wonderful Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, to give you worship, to give attention to the Word of God. Lord, that as a body, Lord, you'd help us to be ever more surrendered to your will. Lord, that we'd be quick and anxious to act it out. That you'd help us to accept the responsibilities that we have as your servants, as soldiers of the cross, to take that privilege and that honor very, very seriously. God, I just pray you'd hold me up in this time, that the Holy Spirit might be able to have free course to reach into our heart and to convict us of truth. In Jesus' name, I most humbly pray. Amen. Timothy, Paul wrote this letter to this young pastor, Timothy, exhorting him about the matters of the battle that he was already in and would continue to be in, certainly through his pastorate. But certainly, this matter of being a Christian soldier isn't limited to just the pastorate, but to each and every members of that body of Christ, the local New Testament church. And Paul spells out some of these things that that we should know and expect to experience in our Christian service. He says that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that term soldier means it talks about a person that serves in a military campaign, and that when he says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, he means just that the individual that's God has selected to be a part of his army and for his service needs to maintain this matter of separation from the world and to him. In this message, we're going to look at four main points. It's certainly not limited to that, and I certainly can't expound to you everything that's implied in this, even in this short these short verses, but we're going to look at number one, that the Christian soldier is a follower. Number two, that the Christian soldier is faithful. Number three, that the Christian soldier is familiar. And number four, the Christian soldier, that he's a fighter. The Christian soldier must be a follower. That implies that he has a relationship with the commander-in-chief, who is God himself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the New Testament church. And so the first step, if you're going to be a part of the Lord's army, is you need to be saved and to become a baptized member of a New Testament church. Now, all believers in truth in that aspect are skirmishing servant of the Lord as soldiers of the cross. But as we know that God raised up a New Testament church, he gave the commission to go into the world to the New Testament church, that he charged us to be witnesses for him all through this world, and that God is going to accomplish that will to take the gospel to the world's people through God's people, by God's people. And again, nobody can be a soldier of the cross until they come to the cross, until they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says that but many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. And that's a precious thing to know, that everyone that's in the Lord's army has a personal relationship with him, and that every one of his sons and daughters, he knows them particularly and has equipped them to be a special part of the body that he's used to take the gospel message to the world. Being a follower implies rank. In the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, there is rank, the rank and file. You got the from the lowest ranks to the highest, there's an order and a chain of command. And it's fairly lengthy. It goes all the way for Brother Travis there, all the way up to his commander-in-chief, Donald Trump. Well, and when you get working through the Army military chain of command, it can be interesting. But in the Lord's Army, it's pretty simple. He has his soldiers, he has his pastors, and we have God in heaven that oversees all his work in and through the New Testament churches. And it's an interesting thing, though. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when I was in the Army, you know, my commander-in-chief, Lyndon Johnson, and Richard M. Nixon, you probably haven't heard of those people much, but... but we're going to look at it in a little bit, I have a personal relationship with my commander-in-chief. You know, if I would have, you know, and if LBJ would have said that Jim Gerth wanted to come and talk to him that day, he just said, "Who's that guy? He ain't got time for that dude. He's not from Texas anyway." But we have a personal relationship with the God of heaven and earth that's the commanding general over all of his work. And every child of God has a certain place and in the rank and file. And he said we've had some message in the, not too long ago, about the spiritual gifts that God has given to each and every member. And you need to be as serious and understand about that. Because just as soldiers in the military, they have different skills, they have different positions and rank and so on, all combined together to perform a certain mission. If you just had foot soldiers, you wouldn't get very far without the cooks and the mechanics and the guys that run, you know, that fly the helicopters. In the same way, we need every individual with their special talents, God-given talents, to be a part of this body to go forward for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul was talking about this fact that when we're saved, we cease to become our own. We come under the commander-in-chief's rule and control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul wrote there, he said, "What?" He said somewhat incredulously, "Know ye not that your body is not the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is our God's." And so the individual soldier should be sold out to his commander-in-chief and be always in tune and willing to listen to him. Because that is his position is as a follower, and it implies rule. And in the military, they have hard and fast rules that are enforced by the command that's over you. In the same way, God has rules for us to follow, found in His Word. And it's a serious matter in the military when you get cross-threaded with the orders that are given you and you fail to obey them. It's one thing to fail to obey them, it's another thing to just fail, but it's another thing to disobey against the rules that are given authority over you. And that's the same way in the Lord's army. To refuse to follow orders is a serious matter to God. Consider Jonah. God told him he had orders from headquarters to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He went to Tarshish. How did that end up for him? In the belly of the whale. And he ended up going to Nineveh anyway. The prophet Balaam, in the Old Testament, Balak came to him and wanted him to curse Israel. And God, he went to God, and God says, "You ain't doing it." He kept going back to God, and he tried to get God to countermand his orders, and he ended up dying on the battlefield. Well, when God gives orders, He expects them to be obeyed. He has the right to rule and reign over this whole universe, and particularly in every one of His churches through the body of Christ, the head of the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the given authority that God ordains to be the head of every individual New Testament Baptist church. The Bible talks about to the pastor is to be given double honor. That means double respect. And a heart to hear and obey and to be surrendered to that authority that God has given to be over you, us, me. Let's see. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, about this matter of being surrendered to the rule or the authority of our commander-in-chief. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Well, this matter of taking up the cross, there's so much implied there, I can't get into all of it, but basically, it's talking about how that we should cease to identify with ourself, set ourself aside, and put everything of God first. When Pastor was preaching on about the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Jesus was going through becoming sin, the burden of the responsibility, what he was going to go through on the cross. Remember what he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's where we need to be. We need to be 100% surrendered to the will of God, the God-given authority over us. Remember, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to the Lord. We need to act like it as soldiers of the cross. When we refuse to live as the Lord desires, then we have crossed the line from a follower to a traitor. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We don't want to be found there in our service for the Lord. So number one, the Christian soldier is to be a follower. And then number two, he is to be faithful. Again, from our text, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The faithful soldier exhibits patience. He endures some things. In this in chapter in this verse 3, uses that term endure hardness. That term in the Greek is kakapatheo, and it's used a number of times especially in Paul's letters, as he wrote about this matter of enduring in being put up with some things as you're going through service for the Lord. That's word kakapatheo, it means to suffer hardship in companion with others. And in the Greek lexicon, it gives the definition to be a fellow sufferer of evil treatment. And from our text, that word is translated as endure hardness. And if you have in verse 9 of that same chapter, it says, wherefore I suffer trouble. Okay, that's kakapatheo. It says, as an evildoer, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even as unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now, I can't preach that, but what it's talking about there basically is that when you're going through some things in the service for the Lord, people are going to look on you as an evildoer, but you're going to still follow the word of God. The word of God is not going to be bound. 2 Timothy 4:5, that was the verse that I had thought about preaching first of all. I actually preached that verse over here 25 years ago. I won't go into what led up to that, but the aftermath of that. But it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then in James chapter 5, verse 13, this is an interesting verse. This is a little rabbit trail here. I don't do this very often, but I'm following some of my leaders here. James chapter 5, verse 13. He says, is there any among you afflicted? Kakapatheo. So this is a person that has been going through some things in his service for the Lord. He says, let him pray. We're going to go through some things sometimes in our service for the Lord. And the best things oftentimes that we can do, we find ourselves out on the spiritual battlefield and we're confronted with something, is to go right to that man right there and let him know what's going on. Because he can give you help in the time of need. It's also in chapter 1, verse 8, it's an interesting phrase there. Chapter 1, verse 8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And that whole phrase, thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, is a related word, song kakapatheo. And so what he's saying here is that when suffering comes about, when we're going through some things in our service for God, for the gospel, we can and will may go through some things. But God is going to be with us in and through that, and he's going to watch out for his soldiers. He's going to watch out for us, and he's going to make a way for us to accomplish his will. We may not always achieve what we seek out to do, but if we're seeking the Lord's face and we're doing following him, what he wants to get done will be accomplished. Endure afflictions, endure hardness. You know, the military, they had a phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. There are some times when you're going to have to shoulder the burden. Sometimes when the fiery darts of the wicked one are really coming, you may just have to hang on. But remember that the Lord is the Lord is the King. He's the head of this of your life, and whatever you're going through, He'll help you to get through. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus wrote, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." That was a term that John used in his gospel and in his letters about the believers are overcomers. We've overcome the world through Christ's work on the cross, and we may not win all the battles, but the war is won already. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And I really believe that the Lord wanted me to preach this, because as this church seeks now to turn some corners and to move into some new areas of ministry with the native population, we're getting this tool. I'm really anxious to see how this tool, the social media, is going to work here in this area and out and beyond. I think that we've prayed about this. This church has been serious about reaching the native population. I believe this is the time when it's going to begin to happen. The teaching we've been getting from the pulpit, from Sunday school, the Bible Institute, it was a wonderful thing for me to be able to be a part of that class and to receive some more teaching and training and some tools so that I can be a better soldier, so that we can be better soldiers. Soldiers need training. They receive training, so that when they get out on the battlefield, they can survive, they can accomplish their mission. It's serious stuff. And I believe very, very firmly that God has put everyone that's in this body here for a reason, for this time, I mean right now. Yeah. And we need to intensify our prayer efforts, that as God opens these doors, now that we're ready, we need to be sober about what we're going to be confronting, but not fearful, but prepared to go forward in the Lord's strength. And the priority of the Christian soldier should be to please his commander. We love him because he first loved us, and if we love him, then we're going to serve him and be obedient to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." And what we need to do to be in being faithful is we need to be, this Christian soldier needs to be practiced. We need to guard the truths of the faith. The good soldier takes of the things that are delivered to him, the orders that he receives, the direction that he gets, and he should be determined to do a good job, the best that he possibly can, that he'll refuse to do anything to bring dishonor to his God and Savior and to his church. The Christian soldier wants to live his life in a manner that brings honor to the Lord and not dishonor. Now, I'm really glad that Brother Travis wore his uniform tonight. You can tell that he's in the military, can't you? By what he's wearing, by what he is, you see that. That's good. But a Christian should stand out too. Yeah. Our identification shouldn't be with the world. We shouldn't want to be like them or emulate them. And it's a different thing. When you're in the military, you really look at the civilians different too. I'm just throwing that in, but maybe we look at soldiers different too, maybe for a reason. But I served proudly. I wanted to serve my country. I had a heart for the people. in Vietnam. And I want to make my God proud through what I can do for Him. That should be all our goal, to give honor and glory to our God. So, number one, we're to be a follower. Number two, we're to be faithful. Number three, the Christian soldier should be familiar with some things. He should be familiar, number one, with the sound of his commander's voice. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." You know, in that phrase, it says, "And he calleth his own sheep by name." When you really think on that, to think that the God, of all the billions and billions of people, he knows every one and every person, but that he knows me. That he knows you that are part of his family, that are his blood-bought children. That's an awesome thing for me to contemplate that. But then the sheep, we should be open to hearing the voice of God when he speaks to us. Jesus would say at one time, "Ye that have ears to hear, let them hear." But sometimes I think I find myself, it isn't that I can't hear, so I don't want to hear. Selective hearing. But we can't do that. We can't pick and choose about the orders that we have, the unction that we get from God. And as we spend time, the way that, you know, that we hear from God is through this, through His book, as we read it. And as God begins to speak to us through the pages of Scripture, He speaks to me a lot through nature. That's one of the things about being retired. I've got time just to be outside. Today it was so just absolutely gorgeously beautiful. I had some awesome time with the Lord out on my deck, just looking at the clouds and talking to Him, and letting Him talk to me. Let him know that every day that I'm his son, that he cares for his little boy. That's something special to me. God wants us to be in tune with Him, and we should be able to listen to Him. And when He speaks, that we should hear and obey. And the more time that we spend with Him, the more time we spend in His Word, the more that we'll hear from Him, and we can learn and know His will for our life, and we can grow to become more better and faithful servants, because that's what it's all about. He wants us, we're saved to serve. You remember? We are bought with a price, therefore we don't glorify ourselves, where our glory is to be for God. And the Christian soldier should be familiar with our Savior's voice. We should be familiar with the weapons of our warfare. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Now we know this, we won't spend a lot of time here, but I do want to read this, because it has some wonderful truths. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Now that's the key right there in Christian service. Be strong in the Lord. Be going out in His power. How do we do that? Well, by being surrendered to Him. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because the devil will be coming after you, and he will be coming after us as we seek to go out more and more for him. It's a truism on the battlefield that we're, when an opposing force goes out, the most likely places they're going to get resistance from that other side. And as we seek to go out for the Lord, we need to know and understand that there's going to be opposition from the other side, from Satan, the world, from the lost world particularly. But we need to be prepared to be on that battlefield, and God has made a way that we can be. Again, put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not warring against the world's people. We're warring against sin and Satan and the world system that holds people in positions of unbelief. The contest, the great contest that's going on in the world right now, is for the souls of men. Satan has every lost person in that snare and holding him in a position of unbelief. The contest that we're about is taking the gospel to the world, that they can be released from that snare of the devil, that they can be born into the family of God, and then being saved, they can be entered into a place of service for the God that saved them. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means that they're going to come, those fiery darts of the wicked. Sometimes it'll come into your life, just like when I sit out on the porch this morning and I hear the soldiers out on the range with those 50 cals. Boom, 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 boom. Well, sometimes that's the way it can seem in life. As the opposition comes, as persecution, as suffering, as life, we need to remember that we have the tools, we have the armor to be able to meet the challenges that we're going to face. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, all those others, the first elements of the Christian's armor are passive, but the helmet, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is a weapon. It's an active tool to take to fight against the enemy. Remember, when you're never gonna win a battle against Satan on your own. Don't even try it. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do when Satan came to him? He gave back the word of God. He said, as it is written. When Satan comes at to you, when you're going through things, suffering for the Lord, you're going through some testing for the Lord, go right to the book and see what the book has to say. That's where it's going to be the source of your strength. The good soldiers knows that the enemy is ever active and he never rests. The good soldier knows that the enemy is shrewd and ever attacking, but he knows that the Lord is there to help him. 1 Peter 5:8, we know, says, be sober, be vigilant, you know, have your head on straight, and keep focused on the world, on what's going on around you. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom may devour. He never rests, he doesn't give up. He doesn't fight fair. He'll come at you and me when, not in our best times, but when we're tired, when we're disappointed, when we're hurting. That's when Satan's going to come and try to upset your and my apple cart. He knows that regardless of the trap, God will make a way of escape for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." In the book of James, it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's what Jesus did. He didn't give in to the desires of that Satan had to go his way. One of the things you need to remember, don't ever compromise what this book says, and don't quit. No matter what happens, just think about what Paul went through in his ministry. Shipwrecks, beatings. He was in more jail more times than I've been in jail. I went in there, you know, in different reasons.
Come on, brother.
Okay. And I always like to use Proverbs 14, verse 12. This is a verse that's repeated twice in the Bible. It says, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The prudent man is the thinking man that uses this to filter everything, that's to make the decisions for what he's going to do in life. And as he's met with confrontations, when he's met with situations, he doesn't try to figure it out on his own, but he goes here. The prudent man foreseeth evil. He sees the logical outcome because he sees what it says here, and he knows when to go. He knows when to say no. He knows where to go, and he knows what to say yes to. The good soldier studies the methods of the enemy, and he learns his weaknesses, and he exploits these to the fullest extent of his ability. The enemy will try to work his magic against you, but we need to recognize that he has ways, that he has devices that he tries to use to get to you and me to take us off the battlefield. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And that's all Satan tends to come, and how the temptations tend to come. They come to the eye gate, and then what gets in and sticks in up here then leads into the actions, the things that we may choose to do. We need to be careful about the things that we put our eyes to. We need to be careful about the things that we let into our life to begin to influence us in any way away from God. The good Christian soldier needs to be wise in the ways of the devil and to avoid them. Okay. So the Christian soldier, he is to be a follower, he is to be faithful, he is to be familiar with the enemy and with the weapons of warfare. And number four, Christian soldier, he's a fighter. Paul makes three statements in this verse that describes a good soldier. Number one, that he's determined. The good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. He doesn't run from a fight. Instead, he stands his ground and he fights the battle until the battle is over. Christian service is 24/7, 365. You know, when I swore in to the military, it was for a 3-year term. But when you're, and I put in my time and I was discharged. But when you become a member of the Lord's army, there is no discharge in this life. You're in it until you go home, die, or you go, the Lord calls us home to heaven, one or the other. But you know, there's, even in my time, I've seen many that had started out faithful for the Lord that didn't continue in that way. Several men that I personally had discipleship with, you saw them come and go. Got lured off by things of the world. I hate to say it, but most of those men got led off by women. I'm not saying anything against godly women, but I am saying something against ungodly women that would influence their husband away from being where God wants them to be. You men that are blessed with godly wives and those that are looking forward to having one, you respect and you treasure her, that woman that God gave you. But by the same token, those of you that haven't married yet, you be very, very careful about that woman that you choose to live life with. Because that is one of the ways that I've seen Satan work that way. I'm just passing on to you what I've observed. Christian soldier is determined. I like First Timothy chapter 1, back in our in 1 Timothy, he said, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Those guys, they walked away from the service of the Lord, and Paul turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, maybe to bring them back in line. And we all know about Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." What happened? Well, they took their eyes off the Lord. They, you know, and I didn't make that analogy with the Christian armor. You know, and it's good if you would, and I try to do it too, to remember some of those elements or all of them every day when you get ready to go out. Because things are going to happen. You need to have that helmet of salvation on, seal of faith. What would you do if you see one of your soldiers go out when they're deployed, and if they had all that, their weapon, if they had their protective vest and all their gear and stuff? What if they showed up to go out on the line when they didn't have it with them? It'd be nuts, because that's the first one the enemy is going to take out. They know he's not prepared. That captain or that sergeant to tell him, get back in there and get that gear on. You need that. You're going to be about to fight. Soldiering is some serious business. The business that we're about as Christian soldiers is some serious business. We need to recognize that and remember that. And when we get out on the battlefield, be prepared each and every day to do the best we can for the Lord. That's the way he gets glory. That's the way the work gets done. The Christian soldier is dedicated. He gives himself to keeping his oath. He's determined to live for the Lord regardless of his personal cost. Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience." Warfare. That's what we're about. The Christian soldier never surrenders. And in verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8, if you have your in Timothy there, let's go over there. I didn't touch on this, but I will now. We'll just look at it just briefly. If I can find it now. Yeah. Paul wrote, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." Soldiers in the military, you sometimes earn medals for service and for heroism and so on. The Christian soldier doesn't get any of that. In this life, but he has something to look forward to in heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that crown, that spiritual crown to cast before, to lay before your Father's throne? That's something that we should all ascribe to through our faithfulness, our faithful servants. And just that one thing, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest," be worth more than a whole chest full of medals that you could earn in military service. As I said, there's no discharge from the Lord's army. We serve for life. There's no pension, but the benefit package is literally out of this world. A heavenly home. So, the Christian soldier is to be a follower, he's to be faithful, he's to be familiar, and he's to be a fighter. And I hope that from this message, it's gonna serve to help me to get more serious about what I've been called to, and for you, for all of us, to be ever more serious about the business of serving the Lord and being a good Christian soldier. Okay. Pastor?